final preparations are underway to mark the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. This morning, we hear from the families.
The Peggy before Bloody Sunday was just a great mother. And after Bloody Sunday, we lost that mother. We lost her. But it's very rough. You would not think it was 50 years on.
And the political leaders.
The actual atrocity itself, the state violence suppressing a civil rights movement, which shocked people as well. But also then the subsequent cover-up, the fact that the truth wasn't told in respect of what happened, that added insult to injury.
And this morning we're live in the Bogside ahead of the weekend's events. Do get in touch with
Bloody Sunday, and we begin this special edition of The Breakfast Show this morning in Glenfather Park in the Bogside, where our reporter Teresa Craig is. And Teresa, 50 years on, and it's a big weekend ahead, isn't it? Very, very significant.
It really is, Elaine. I'm just here outside the Museum of Free Derry, as you say, in the Bogside. And as you know, the location of the museum here is significant, as it was here 50 years ago in Glenfather Park, its courtyard and narrow alleyways where some of the 13 victims were shot dead while others were injured. It's a very confined space, Elaine, and this morning it is so silent ahead of the 50th anniversary this weekend. A legacy of that day, if I just walk over here, is of course the museum, which depicts to visitors the events as they unfolded that day, and murals on nearby gable walls. I'm just looking at one here showing a civil rights march with some very familiar faces, including the late Nobel Peace Prize winner John Hume.
On the front pages, a couple of them are reflecting the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday coming up. The Irish News has the faces of those who lost their lives that day looking out from the paper. And they have quotes from the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach spoke to ourselves in the Irish News ahead of the event. Says, dignity and persistence. Taoiseach praises Bloody Sunday families as he prepares to mark 50th anniversary at the commemoration events in Derry. The Fianna Fáil leader was speaking to the Irish News last night ahead of travelling to Derry on Sunday to commemorate the killing of 13 innocent civil rights marchers. He just says he'll always remember it because it had an enormous impact on society right across Ireland. They also have full coverage for several pages, and they also have an interview with Dennis Bradley as well inside the paper.
The Derry Journal today, it is really an extraordinary edition of the newspaper. It's the only phrase I can use. So they have done a 50th anniversary commemorative edition, and the entire paper really, for the majority of the paper certainly, is dedicated to the anniversary. And the photograph they have used on the front page is a photograph I've never seen that before. I've never seen that before. It's of one man lying on the ground and another man, obviously, just lying opposite him, cowering for safety, and never forget is the headline. And just pages inside, extraordinary archive photos, beautiful photographs that were taken today of family members. They're really striking, and a really, suppose, a rich dive into the Derry Journal archive, which documented everything at the time. And inside on pages 2 and 3, that front page from the time of all the coffins laid out in that headline, "The skies wept too as Derry laid its dead to rest." But yeah, very special Derry Journal today.
Well worth picking a journal up today.
I went out on a date. And it was at 5 o'clock that afternoon when a knock came to the door. I was in his house, and it was a neighbour of mine and a good friend, you know. And then she says, "Kate, your brother Willie's been shot dead, and your father's been shot too, but he's okay." You know, and I mean, I fell to pieces sort of after that. Obviously, I was taken home. I know we were stopped a lot by the RUC. They'd thrown up barriers everywhere, you know, when they were, you know, we were having to take different sort of directions, you know. But we eventually got home, and I didn't get in the house. My uncle sort of came home towards me, my Uncle Jimmy, and he put us into his van. Now, I know Charlie was there, and my sister Margaret was there, and we got to the hospital. Now, I know Charlie went towards the morgue. On each floor, there was doctors, nurses. Everybody seemed to be crying. You know, there you could feel the devastation, you know, just around. And, oh, I was just getting more scared and more scared and more scared, you know, going up to see my father. And when I got into his ward, he was lying there with his arm in there, you know, the arm that was shot. And you could see the same side, you know, the left side. You could see where he was shot, the other side too. And he hadn't been treated at that stage, you know. Obviously, there might have been more serious people there. Mm-hmm. I just says to him, "Dad, is that sore?" And he said, "Well, he's in the morgue." You know, and that was all he says. "Well, he's in the morgue."
We rang a number. She wasn't there. Told her to try the morgue. Tried the morgue. He said, "I'm not supposed to say, but there is a woman injured. But she's not dead." And from there, followed her, came to the house. And that's when we realised she was shot.
And she was the only woman shot?
The only woman shot.
And did she remember a lot of it herself?
She does. She could pick him out. He was that close to her. And she says, "Hey, Mum, don't shoot me again. I'm a widow woman with 14 children."
Do you think how things could have been different, Margaret, if Bloody Sunday hadn't happened, and how things would have been different for your family?
It probably could have been. But the army had us tortured anyway. You know, they were raiding the house like 5 out of 7 a week. You know, morning and night.
And would they ever say why?
Never ever says why. I wouldn't have had to be a mother at 14. And we would have had my mother. That's a photo of her, and she was a great woman. Brilliant. Even my grandchildren, from the 2-year-old up, talk about her as if she was here. Because we want to keep her in their minds. She was that good of a woman.
What's it like to get to the 50th anniversary?
It seems like yesterday. It'll always be a cloud over Derry. It seems like yesterday. Doesn't seem 50 years. And like, she died when she was 54. So she's dead a long time too.
That was 1988, was it?
Yeah.
And I know she was wounded that day, but do you think ultimately Bloody Sunday killed your mother?
It did. It did.
In what way?
She wasn't the same. She wouldn't go out. She was nightmarish, up screaming at night, and she just wasn't the Peggy or the Mammy. But when she went down, when the day she was shot, the dad come on, they were going to take her by helicopter. And she wouldn't go. She was scared, they'd throw her out. And they says, "Come on, let the whore bleed to death." You know, they done her enough damage without being nasty to her. But she came through it. But never was the same, never. Duffer moment.
Micheál Martin becomes the first Taoiseach to attend the annual commemoration. He'll lay a wreath in memory of the victims before having a private meeting with the families. He's also appealed to the political parties to remain committed to the Stormont institutions amid threats from the DUP to collapse them. He began by telling me of his memories of the 30th of January 1972.
I was 12 years of age at the time of Bloody Sunday, and I remember it well, the enormous shock and horror. I was in Cork City with my family. My father would have been very interested, and had also interested in current affairs. Northern Ireland dominated our teenage years, right into our university years. And Bloody Sunday is the one event that still stands in our memory because of the television images of Father Daly and the white hanky and the terrible atrocity that occurred. Never left it indelibly imprinted on our minds. I think that is true of many, many families across the island, but particularly, obviously, for the families of those who lost loved ones. Mm. And I think it was a huge turning point in some respects, and remained on as an enduring injustice at the heart of the Northern Ireland troubles and issues.
Those intervening years as well, and the families and their search for what they would call truth and justice. I mean, talk us through your understanding of that period and the journey that they went on.
Well, first of all, it was a very long period, and again, the actual atrocity itself, which was really the state violence suppressing a civil rights movement, which shocked people as well, the nature of that, but also then the subsequent cover-up, the fact that the truth wasn't told in respect of what happened, That added insult to injury, and really, I think, hardened people's attitudes, understandably. And then the journey of justice was a long one, but I think it now stands as a monument in itself and an inspiration to others all over the world, that persistence, dignity, and resilience can get vindication and can get the truth. And that is a great tribute to the families of those who lost their lives. I think they got the truth. They got a state apology from a British Prime Minister. And they were supported by successive Irish governments in that. But it went on too long. I was Minister for Foreign Affairs when that apology came. Mm. Very conscious of the worries and anxieties prior to that in the aftermath of the inquiry as to whether we would get a fulsome, comprehensive statement. We did, I think, from David Cameron at the time. The families, in many ways, have been inspirational to others in similar situations.
We would speak very...
in Ireland and across the world.
We would speak regularly with the families as well. And those early years of their campaign, they would often tell us that while they faced a lot of closed doors from the UK government, in those early years of their campaign, they faced a lot of closed doors in Dublin as well. Do you think the Irish government more could have been done by the Irish government to support that campaign in the early days?
I wouldn't be as expert on the early days in terms of British governments. Perhaps there could have been. Certainly in the governments I was in under the leadership of Bertie Ahern at the time, very, very persistent and strong support was given, but also seeking...
What happened on the day? We knew long before David Cameron came along that it was unjustified and unjustifiable. Like, we knew that my Uncle Paddy and the other men who were murdered were not in the IRA. They were not gunmen. So you understood the injustice. And I really believe that the only reason that I'm a journalist now is because I grew up in a Bloody Sunday family. You know, when you're told always to question the people who represent you or claim to represent you, I don't think any other job option was available to me after that.
Yeah, I know. It's really interesting you say that, Aoife. Just before I come to Susan, I just wanted to ask you, I've kind of thought about this a lot this week. It's that butterfly effect. It's how those bullets, you know, they travel far further than they did on that day, because it was just, it's all those little paths that it has led different families down. There's obviously the huge loss of Paddy to your family, but then it set you, who never met him or never knew him, on your life path then, you know?
Absolutely. My mammy always used to say, it's not the people that, obviously it is the people that they murdered on Bloody Sunday, but it's the people that they've left behind. My mammy used to say, the British Army will never know what they actually did, because, yeah, the murdered people on the streets of Derry on the 30th of January 1972, but the ripple effect that it has on families, mental health, relationships, everything like that. There's no compensation for that. There's no Savile inquiry for the trauma that was left behind. And I think that's nearly the worst of it, is you lose the person, but the family unit and everything else after it really is really damaged. So, yeah, I think that is the biggest thing that stays to me, is the actual trauma of the event is one thing, but it's everybody who's left behind is kind of where all the suffering is.
Mm-hmm. And Susan, for you, your own memories of the time, Susan, what you remember about finding out what had happened?
Well, it's funny because I found out this morning that I'm the same age as the Taoiseach. So I was about 14 when Bloody Sunday happened. I lived out in Drumahoe. We would have heard the shooting, but I would have found out about Bloody Sunday from watching the news. And, you know, when I was kept from school for a couple of days afterwards, my parents would have sent in a note saying, in case there was trouble in the town. Bloody Sunday was never mentioned in my school, which was Londonderry High School. It wasn't discussed at all. It wasn't marked in the Protestant community over the years.
Even in the immediate aftermath, Susan, you know, the days after, there was no mention at all.
No, there was no reference. We used to have a school assembly in the morning at which things would be discussed, but Bloody Sunday was never one of them. I mean, we would have had the British Army in playing with us in the school orchestra. You know, it was just, I mean, it's interesting to hear Aoife talking about, you know, how it Bloody Sunday turned her into a journalist, because it turned me probably into a journalist as well, because as I grew up, then I began to realise how dislocated the city I was from was. You know, I don't come from the same Derry as Aoife is from, and yet it's the Derry that I feel I belong to now. I wasn't from Londonderry either. I didn't fit in with the unionist community. I was horrified by Bloody Sunday, as in fact were my parents, although they would have been quite scared to say so, I think. But it has a different legacy in the Protestant community. I mean, Drumahoe, where I'm from, has been in the news in the last few days for all the wrong reasons, because of having parachute regiment flags flying. And, you know, I'm looking at that flag on the news and thinking, you know, my old family home is just around the corner from that. And it doesn't make me feel proud in any way. But yeah, no, I would have grown up learning myself about what Bloody Sunday meant. But when I see those flags, I feel really perturbed. And I think they're sort of, they represent the same sort of disrespect as is represented when you see Sammy Wilson, DUP MP, heckling Colm Eastwood, who's the MP for Derry, when he tried to speak about Bloody Sunday in Parliament during the week. You know, it's an ostentatious show of disrespect. There's a kind of a nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll go and eat worms attitude. And it doesn't serve the Protestant community. And but I do feel that today most Protestants in Derry do respect the Bloody Sunday family, and they are mortified and embarrassed by that kind of behaviour.
Brings back lots of memories. I was 10 when it happened, and I can remember it vividly. 50 years, we loved the Wovett, and I can remember seeing the people out the window dispersing everything, you know. So it's written in the history books, I suppose. There's nothing more can be said now. It's happened, and people try to move on as best they can, really.
Didn't mean much at the time because I was young and I didn't live here. But with hindsight, it was the beginning of the end of a rotten society. It was a complete turnaround, a change. That's what this place needed.
It would never happen, but unfortunately it has, and really it's about people getting, you know, trying their best to get over something they'll never get over, you know. So, and it's about respect too. A lot of people in this town don't respect that.
Well, I remember it very well. And although I am a Protestant, I still thought of myself. Because I lived in a Catholic area. And we never had any trouble at all. And I thought it was despicable.
Half a century ago, shots rang out across this city. For 10 minutes, the Parachute Regiment fired upon a civil rights march. It sent shockwaves throughout Derry and beyond. 13 people were left dead, and at least a further 15 were wounded, and countless family members affected to this day by the loss of their loved ones, many we've heard from this morning. It was a day which would become known as Bloody Sunday, and we're going to leave you on The Breakfast Show this morning with their story, 50 years on. Good morning.
Of the reference shooting of the bomber.
Bernard McGuigan,
41. High velocity shots heard in the area of the Rossville flat. People are lying on the ground.
Jared Donaghy, 17. Hugh Gilmore, 17.
It is absolute rubbish for anybody to suggest that there were no gunmen or that the gunmen did not fire first.
It was completely outrageous, disgraceful. I don't know. They call themselves an army.
John Young, 17.
There's absolutely no doubt at all that the parachute town did not open up until they'd been fired at.
There was nothing fired at them, sir. I'm absolutely certain of that. I can speak of this without any difficulty whatsoever, because I was there. I was just standing at the flats when the Saracens moved in, first of all, and there was nothing fired at them, positively nothing fired at them whatsoever. There weren't even stones fired at them. People ran in all directions and they opened fire.
Michael Kelly, 17.